This episode of the Golf Unfiltered podcast is brought to you by WorldwideGolfShops.com. Be sure to go out to WorldwideGolfShops.com for all of your equipment, apparel, and accessory needs. They've even got training aids. They've got all the great stuff from all the brands that you hear on our podcast every week. So once again, that is WorldwideGolfShops.com.
You're listening to the Golf Unfiltered podcast, your source for in-depth interviews with the biggest names, brands, and personalities in golf. Our mission? To keep you informed and help you enjoy the game even more. And now, the owner and host of the Golf Unfiltered podcast, Adam Fonseca.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Golf Unfiltered podcast. I am your host, as always, Adam from GolfUnfiltered.com. You know where to find us on social media, at GolfUnfiltered. Send us your emails, golfunfiltered@gmail.com. You can also find us at thehackersparadise.com and on their mobile app. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes or Spotify, either on the Golf Unfiltered feed or over at the Hackers Paradise. And, of course, hello to our friends over at Cleveland and Srixon Golf. Now, an interesting thing happened before we get into today's guest. For those who follow along on social media, as well as those who may frequent the Hackers Paradise forums, you know that I had a bet recently, and I guess if you've listened to the podcast for the last few episodes, you know I had a bet recently with our good friend JB, Josh Babbitt, over at the Hackers Paradise, where a reader was able to take the one-length challenge. They played five rounds and then a few range sessions with one-length irons from Cobra Golf to see if they could make the switch from variable length irons. I was on one side, where I am not a fan of one length irons. JB is on the other side, of course, and he won. So, he now gets to pick my golf bag for next year. And not just the bag itself, but everything that goes into the bag, but it will remain within the family of Cleveland, Srixon, and Zegzio. And at the time of this recording, I do not know what that will be yet. So, excited, scared, anxious to see what's going to happen and what clubs I'll be playing throughout the 2020 season, but they will have those names on them. Today's guest is Mr. Paul Letelt. He is from PC Golf Customs. He is a small business owner that I actually connected with through a mutual, I guess you could say, acquaintance that I actually bumped into playing golf one day. And Paul is in the Chicagoland area for work. He actually lives out in Indiana. He's a metal worker by trade, and what he does, his free time, much like what I do with this podcast, is he creates ball markers, he creates divot repair tools, he does other golf-related things out of metal that are absolutely phenomenal. Now, if you've followed on social, as I mentioned before, you have seen pictures of the two ball markers. Paul was very generous to send me two ball markers, custom-made for Golf Unfiltered, one featuring the GU Shield that you all know and love. And then the other, kind of a custom design that he went with, some lettering that spells out Golf Unfiltered, and you'll see pictures of both of those in the show notes as well as on our website. Absolutely stunning work. I mean, this guy builds everything from hand, quite literally. He's not just stamping metal that is pre-pressed. He presses the metal, pours the metal, presses the metal, designs everything to the spec that I wanted or any of his customers wanted. And he is a true artist, and the reason I laugh is because Paul does not like to refer to himself that way, but he truly, truly is. And so we go into a lot of conversation today about how he got started. You guys know I like talking to small business owners like this because there's just a uniqueness about their passion. Obviously, any business that's ever started as a small business in some regard. And I just love the hustle that Paul has. I love the hustle that people like him have to bring their passions, to bring their art, in this case, to the rest of us. And it's always great to hear when someone's doing good for themselves. It's nice to hear success stories in this arena. And so we go into all of that today in today's conversation. So sit back and relax. Probably a pretty decent gift to buy your those last few people on your shopping list if you didn't have the chance to get to them before the holiday. It's never too late, folks. You're going to be able to go out to pcgolfcustoms.com and you're going to see exactly what I'm talking about with Paul. And we will be right back with Mr. Paul Letelt from PC Golf Customs.
I know you love the game, even though it drives every single one of us crazy. Hi, this is Bill Hobson, and I host the Four Golfers Network podcast, where we celebrate golf in every way imaginable. You'll hear interviews with the biggest names in the sport, travel features, special contests, and we even take your calls. So after you listen to Adam and Golf Unfiltered, give us a try. Subscribe to the Four Golfers Network podcast, that's F-O-R-E, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
And welcome back, folks. As I mentioned at the top of the show, very excited to bring on another small business owner, Mr. Paul Leitelt. He is the brainchild. He is the man in charge over at PC Golf Customs. They are a handmade golf accessories company that, Paul, you and I actually connected over Instagram. How are you this evening?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. And, you know, listeners, if you follow us at Golf Unfiltered, and if you've seen our Twitter feed or our Instagram feed, you've seen the craftsmanship of Paul. He was kind enough to send me, to custom make me two ball markers, and he sent them over to me not too long ago. They are absolutely fantastic, Paul. So first and foremost, I want to say thank you for doing that. That was very kind of you. I think they're fantastic.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. So before we get into your background, I understand that you met who was, I guess, a mutual friend of ours playing golf. And so where did you run into to that guy?
He actually found me on Instagram, which that's where I do most of, you know, my custom orders. And he had a website, and I was explaining to him about my new website. And he's like, hey, have you heard of Adam over at Golf and Filter? And I was like, no, I don't think so. He's like, well, you should give him a follow, and I'll connect you two and see if you guys can't do something together and just, you know, have a good conversation.
That's awesome. And the guy we're talking about, I should say, because he's probably listening. Hi, Calvin. So, Calvin, he's just a chance meeting. He and I, so I went and played golf. As you know, I live near Cog Hill here in Lamont. And I was just playing solo one day on Dubs Dread over there. And he just caught up, you know, to me from playing behind me there. And we just started talking. And I understood that he was out of town. And then we just connected on social media, and then a few, I guess maybe 2 months later, he mentioned exactly what you just said, that he ran into you. He thought I should check you out, and I'm glad that I did, because the craftsmanship that you showcase, sir, is absolutely fantastic. And on that point, why don't you tell us a little bit about what PC Golf Customs is and how you got started in it?
All right. Well, you know, it is as you described it. It's handmade golf accessories. And when I say handmade, I mean everything is done by hand. Divot tools, the ball markers when I'm cutting the blanks, using manual machinery that's been around since the 40s, I believe it is. It's World War II era. And, you know, I kind of believe in keeping everything done that way, as far as not using too much technology to achieve what I'm after, because you know, our golf games aren't perfect, so I don't think the stuff that we should be toting around with us as we're out there, I think it should be as unique as we are, you know. So that's kind of the theory behind us. But the way I got started in it is because my family owns a brass and aluminum foundry on the south side of Chicago here. You know, I spend all day working with metal, whether it's grinding, doing some, you know, drilling holes or cutting off or whatever. You know, I even pour the metal. So, you know, it's just kind of a part of my life. Golf is my obsession. So, you know, I combine the two.
That's a smart move, sir. And, you know, seeing the designs that you've already created on Instagram, and folks, you can go and find Paul and PC Golf Customs at PC Golf Customs on both Facebook and Instagram. You know, it's always funny because I like to talk to people like yourself, especially local guys, who get started. They've either got, you know, it's either their day job already, or in your case, it's a family business. And you're obviously got this connection with the game of golf. And so have you golfed for a long time? Is this something that you started later in life, or maybe just a little background on your golf game?
Yeah, I started, probably a lot of people my age started around then, was when Tiger was huge. And I remember watching him. I had never golfed before, and I'm about, I think, 12 or 14 years old around that. And I was like, well, this doesn't look that hard. So I went out to a par three course here in Hammond. Maybe you've heard of Lost Marsh.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I went out there to their little par three, and it was not easy. So, you know, just from there, it was watching him, and then, you know, I'm a competitive person in general, and I grew up playing sports my whole life. So once I got that little itch, it hasn't stopped since.
That's a good thing. And certainly, I mean, he hasn't stopped either. And we're talking, listeners, we're actually recording this episode on day one of the President's Cup. And, yeah, you know,
it's I got it on here.
Do you really?
Yeah.
So you do a lot of your work. If your live Instagram feeds are to be believed, you do most of your work just in your garage. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yep.
And so you are very open. You are very engaging with your followers. You've developed a pretty decent following, and I hope that it grows because, you know, the work that you do, essentially, as you describe it. I mean, you mentioned a couple things. You mentioned ball markers. You mentioned divot repair tools. What other things that, what are some of the other things that you actually create by hand, custom made for your customers?
Yeah, I've done, bag tags too. They fit into that category. And then something cool that I don't do too many of, but they're little, I call them cell phone stands. And the reason I started making them is because I needed something to prop my phone up while I was stamping. So I took a slab of copper and I put a bend in it and I started stamping some, you know, famous golf quotes on there. So there's,
that's awesome.
Oh, I did the golf quote. I did Arnold Palmer, one of his quotes. And then I did the Ric Flair drip.
Awesome.
The Ric Flair drip one, I really didn't want to let go of, but, you know, someone made me a pretty good offer. So I said, all right, I'll let go of this one.
I mean, just the natural progression from Arnold Palmer to Ric Flair drip. I mean, it fits like a glove. So, yeah. And I mean, you've got some unique designs too. I mean, when we think of like divot repair tools, for example, you think of like the two pronged divot repair tool plastic that we see everywhere, but you actually take a different spin on it. You have like the one prong design, for example.
Yeah, I've been doing, my first one that I ever offered was actually a sand cast one prong. And we made it at work. And a little background on my family company is everything we do there is also very archaic. Like, you know, it's all handmade stuff. So when we have our guys making our molds, they're using their hands. It's not machinery operated. It's all, you know, manual. So when I say handmade, even when the cast stuff, it is still handmade. So that's how I started, was the one prong cast. I'd never seen a one prong before. And I came across one when I was visiting my friend down in Chillicothe, Ohio. And I was like, hey, this would be cooler in metal. So I took it home and I cast it. And I ground it up and I stamped it. And I was like, hey, you know what? There's probably some money in this. And at this point in time, I really hadn't had an Instagram. My wife, which was my girlfriend at the time, had one. She made me get it so she could tag me in pictures and stuff. So I didn't know it was really even out there until, you know, we have the stamps. I've had them around the shop since the 50s. So it just was kind of a weird thing to connect with.
And I love hearing that, too, because... you know, guys like yourself getting started out, you didn't really have an online presence, at least in terms of social media. And then you discover the benefits of having it. When was that moment for you specifically as it pertains to the things that you design?
I've been trying to think, because last time when I was live, you were on there and you asked me when I got started. And I was trying to kind of remember those days. And I can't remember if I had seen people doing it on, you know, and like doing ball markers before, but I must have. And I was like, well, you know what? If people are doing this, I can do this too. Let's see. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I first started, man, it was rough. I'm not going to lie.
In what way? I mean, just not noticing you or how was
no,
it?
No, I mean, just the work. I leave those pictures up so I could, you know, if you scroll way back in my feed, you'll see the early days and you'll be like, whoa, no wonder it was rough. But I leave those up there because it's part of my development as, you know, as a worker and as you know, what I learned through doing this stuff.
And as you have seen as well, and listeners to this know, I mean, like the artisan upstart golf company making things by hand, that is extremely popular right now.
And it is. Yeah.
I'd imagine that, you know, someone like yourself who's skilled in what you do, finding that opportunity right now at the time that you did, that, I mean, that's pretty much a home run, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, there's up and down times, and you know, it's like a normal business, but it's really fun to connect with people and had some friendships develop out of this, and to see other people's creative ideas and be able to make them come to life. It's really fun.
Speaking of people you've connected with, and listeners, you can go to pcgolfcustoms.com to view Paul's website. You've also connected with tour players. So I'm looking at your gallery, for example. I see Ryan Moore, I see John Rahm, I see Kevin Streelman and Kenny Perry and others. How did you get those connections? Was that something that you connected via social media, or do you go to tournaments to kind of show your stuff?
It's a little bit of everything. So my brother-in-law is pretty well connected out in the golf scene in Arizona. And he has been a big part of helping me along here because he's connected me with, you know, not only tour players, but with country clubs out there and charities that I've worked with. And he's been essential in my exposure. So he's helped me a ton with meeting guys and getting my stuff in people's hands. And he was, actually during the BMW, I had the chance to have dinner with Ryan Moore, and which was pretty cool. 'Cause he's about one of the nicest guys I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he gave some suggestions on, hey, you know, I love your stuff, but I like it a little more if it was smaller. It'd be easier to use, 'cause guys complain about the bigger stuff. And I said, well, that's no problem. I got what it takes to make them a little smaller, and I'll get you some more over. So, you know, it just talking with those guys and seeing what they like is interesting too, because it's not the same as what a consumer wants.
Well, that's interesting, because on that point, there are differences. And Ryan Moore, you know, certainly, as you know, a small business owner himself, as opposed to being a hell of a golfer,
right.
You know, a little bit more on that point, you know. So what are some of the differences that you've seen, aside from just the size of the products you make, that the tour pros that you've worked with have requested?
Well, one guy that I've worked with a decent amount is Graham McDowell, and he found me through there, through Instagram. And so every once in a while, I'll send him down a prototype thing to test out, and, you know, he'll give me his feedback. So I'm not sure how often these guys use songs and all that. So I noticed, you know, he told me, hey, I'd like it to be smaller. I like mine smaller and lighter. And then I was watching the Century Tournament of Champions in Hawaii, and I noticed DJ was using a golf tee. And I was like, well, why is he using a golf tee? It's like, why does everyone carry a two prong that weighs, you know, half a pound when he's using a golf tee?
Right.
So at the time, I was making these racks for the collectors that buy from me, and I had some excess metal from them, and I was like, you know, this is about the length of a golf tee. I'm going to grind this into the shape and see if this doesn't work. And that became one of my biggest products, and that's all because of talking to Graham McDowell, saying, hey, I want this thing smaller. Can you make it smaller?
And those are the toothpick designs I'm seeing on your website.
Yep. Yep, exactly, and they've been very popular. I think people are starting to see the usefulness and the fact that you don't want to carry around 5 pounds of change in your pocket.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and now that you mention it, I mean, if I forget to put my divot repair tool in my pocket, and I always have a tee on me, and so I have also used tees to fix divot, you know, divots in the green. And so, you know, I can't think of another brand or another company that makes something specifically like that, which is something that you picked up on. And as you just described, you're meeting the need of the customers that perhaps they didn't even know they wanted.
Yeah. I think that is one example of that, because, you know, in the golf world, it's pretty hard to stay original. There's so many people out there with creative ideas, and everybody's doing their own thing. And, you know, you'll run into similar, and there are, you know, smaller one prongs out there, but there's not quite anything like the toothpick where you can customize it. You know, I could stamp on all four sides of it. And, you know, the finishing that I do on there is pretty unique.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a good offering for people that are looking for something simple to carry, but still want it to be cool.
Something that I always like to talk to, you know, upstarts like yourself is just about the reception from your peers. Now, I'm sure that there are other, well, of course, there are other golf accessory brands out there. I don't know how many of them are handmade, much to the degree that you make, but clearly we're a pretty close-knit group, us folks in this golf industry, one way or another. How has reception been? Have you gotten support from other brands? How has that felt?
Yeah, you get a little of it all. You know, it's very similar to just normal social interactions, right? So you'll get guys that are very supportive. You'll get guys that are wanting information from you. You get guys that follow you just to see what you're doing. You get guys that see what you're doing and are like, hey, man, would you like to work together?
Hmm.
So a couple examples of guys that I'm going to be working with here soon is Mike Ron Mild, who does some incredible machine work, and he does these really, really amazing inlays with wood and metal. I mean, he's got to be the best at it.
Hmm.
And Corey Paul, Functional Art, who is doing a great job out in New York stamping wedges and finishes on there and polishing them and torching them. I mean, he's an artist, man. He's real good at what he does. So, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag. You get the guys that you want to talk to, and then you got the guys out there that's like, okay, yeah, that's cool, but I'm going to stick to what I do, and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say you're an artist yourself. I mean, let's not sell yourself short here, Paul. Well, I mean, you do some pretty damn good work.
That's funny because I was out golfing with a couple of my customers over the summer around the 4th of July, and we got on a similar conversation. I was like, guys, I don't want you to call me an artist because I don't see myself as an artist. I like to see myself more as, like, you know, a blue collar guy. Just, you know, I'm just doing what I like.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to, you know, step out of my boundaries, or, you know, not trying to do anything out of my means. It's just, I love doing this. You know, I don't have to, but mm-hmm. I love doing it. So it's, you know, I told him, I said, hey, just call me a craftsman maybe, but I prefer maybe not artist.
Well, fair enough. Well, listeners, there you go. Don't call Paul an artist. Call him a craftsman.
You can call me whatever you want.
So I want to talk a little bit about just the different types of you know, products you've put together, as well as the customer experience. You know, working closely with you, obviously, you were making something custom for me. You were kind enough to actually make two different designs for me, and it was very interactive. When somebody orders something from PC Golf Customs, is that the same level of engagement that a customer can expect?
Yeah, for sure, because I need to, you know, some guys will say, hey, just, you know, have at it and surprise me. And some guys will say that, but will kind of, you know, give you guidelines. And what I like to do is kind of feel out the guy, and you get that a lot from the way they're describing what they want. So, if I need to, I'll talk somebody through the entire process, and I'll show them, hey, this is it painted versus not painted. And, you know, it's extra work for me and extra time, but, you know, in the end, I want them to get something they're really happy with. You know, they work hard for their money, and mm-hmm. they're choosing me to make something for them. And, you know, my stuff is not, it's not exactly cheap, but I try to be fairly priced and get paid for the time that I put into stuff. So, yeah, it's a real interactive, and that's probably why I have a lot of friends that are customers now, because you develop a rapport with these guys, and you need to learn what they want, and you need to learn what they like and what's in their mind, and the only way to do that is by talking to them.
That's right, and, you know, You're being modest. I mean, you do great work, and I've said that a few times. And, you know, listeners, again, go out to pcgolfcustoms.com to take a look at the gallery, to take a look at what Paul has available in his shop right now. But that's not to suggest that they're limited to only that. I mean, they can contact you, obviously, for custom jobs as well. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And that's one thing that I'm having a tough time figuring out how to get through on my website is like a custom product that people can go and just straight up customize on the site. But that's difficult because, you know, you have to talk to people and you have to find out what they want and say, hey, you know, take a look at my my previous work and send me a picture of what you have in mind. And you know what I mean? So it's real difficult to just do that straight up through the site. And I'm not a real technical savvy guy. I'm not big on, that's why Instagram's a little bit tough for me because I'm not the influencer type. I'm kind of more just put it out there and see what people think.
Sure.
So, I'd rather interact with people as opposed to just kind of, hey, go to my site and then I'll send it to you in a couple weeks.
Well, I think a lot of people appreciate that. I mean, I know I do. I know that, you know, when we talk about social media marketing, which we do a lot on this podcast, you know, it's, you get kind of both worlds that you touched on. You've got the influencer types that are out there just to show how great they are. And I don't mean that in a derogatory manner in any way, but you know, they're approaching social media in a different way as opposed to someone like yourself. And even me to a degree, I would guess, where you want to show what you can do. You want to show the experiences that you have and say, hey, I can actually provide this service to you, or in your case, this product. And so, right. You know, on that end too, you know, the first thing that popped to my mind when I saw what you can do is, you know, bachelor party gifts or groomsmen gifts. I mean, do you do a lot of bulk orders like that?
I do. Yeah. I just finished up one where they had a custom stamp made actually. So, but that was pretty cool. But yeah, I do, you know, like the golf trip guys are, you know, they seem to be a little more serious about what they want. And they're super fun to do because, you know, these guys are all pumped up for these trips, and to be like a little part of that, you know, the little added bonus to their trip, they get this cool piece of, you know, metal that they can mark their ball with. It's pretty cool. So yeah, I get a lot of that, but mostly golf trips.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get into some country clubs and get into some pro shops because I think it'd be a great fit. And I would love to work with them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
that was really my next question, is if you've had the chance to interact with any courses or clubs, have any shown interest up to this point?
Yeah, I'm sure you've played Harborside, right?
I've actually not.
Oh man.
I know. Every time I say that, people have the same reaction. That's one of my goals in 2020 is to get out there, but they've reached out to you.
Yeah, I've actually become buddies with the pro there, Lane, who's really, really nice guy. Man, we should get out there together this spring.
We should, man. Totally. Yeah. I need to get out there. I don't know why. I have no excuse. I'm just a horrible Chicagoan.
It's so good out there, dude. But yeah, you know, I actually approached him with it because I took a lesson from him 2 years ago. And he, you know, he's real easy to talk to. And he's like, so what do you do for work? And I was like, I actually work just up the street here at a brass and aluminum foundry. And he's like, really? Because I got an idea for a club training aid. Do you think you could help me out? I was like, yeah, I'll take care of you. So we ended up doing a casting for him, and he's got it glued into a shaft and he still uses it. And we actually did work for them as the founder in the past. We did some anchors for him.
Nice.
But we developed a relationship, you know, from that. And I approached him and I said, hey man, this is what I've been doing. And this is back when I first started. So he's got one of my original pieces that I customized for him, and I said, hey man, throw that away. He's like, no, I'm not losing this one. So I got a custom stamp made, and you know, you could get them in their pro shop now.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. So let's talk about your operation. I mean, is it yourself and your wife? I mean, how many, I guess, quote unquote employees do you have?
Yeah, it's really just me and my wife does the shipping for me, which is a huge help.
Nice.
So yeah, I'll, you know, and she'll give me ideas, and she's got a good eye for something that's going to look nice. So I'll go to her for some design ideas, or, you know, like logo thoughts, and she, I mean, she's really fantastic the way she helps me with the shipping though. And she gives me the space to go and work, because, you know, a lot of nights I'm putting in, I do 10 hours a day at work, and then I come home and I'll put 5 to 6 hours in the garage.
Wow.
And I'll be going to bed at midnight or whatever, and she'll be, she's cool with it. She's supportive, which is great.
That is great and incredibly rare. I've learned over the time. I mean, my wife does the same. I mean, she allows me to do stuff like this, talk to people like yourself. I, as listeners know, have my own day job, and it's not something I do full time. This podcast isn't. So it really is nice to hear that. There's arrangements like that. There's agreements like that, because we all kind of need our own thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have golf, and then I have metalwork. So I have two things.
that's a good combination. That's a good combination. So I know, obviously, you're still, for the most part, getting started out. I know you had mentioned that, this isn't something that you're currently doing full time, but what are your long-term goals here? I mean, is this just kind of one of those, let's see where it goes, or do you have something in mind bigger than what you're currently doing?
Yeah, see, that's something I grapple with back and forth. And when we first talked about doing this, it's actually something I figured you're probably going to ask me something along these lines. And I haven't come up with an answer, because in the end, I'm most God willing that the foundry continues for another 20-30 years. My brother and I will be taking over the foundry. So, do I see the company continuing there? I hope so. The golf company continuing through that, but it might take a different turn. I don't have plans right now. I'm just kind of enjoying the work I'm doing. Mm-hmm. If I stop enjoying it, I think I'll just stop doing it.
Amen to that. I literally said the same thing about this, what I do. So I don't create what you create, but I always, I remember having conversations with my wife saying, if I ever got to a point where this felt more like a job than my actual job, I would stop doing it. And so It's encouraging to hear that you had a similar thought. And I think that's fine. I think it's fine what you're doing. You're obviously doing pretty well.
Well, thank you. Yeah. And some people ask you, well, is it just a hobby? It's like, well, no, it's not a hobby, because, I'm doing business, and I have, this is a legitimate business, it's an LLC, and it's not just a hobby. But that doesn't mean I have to treat it more serious than a hobby. Right. I don't have to take this so serious to the point where it's not fun.
No, that's the important thing, is to always enjoy it. Continue to do it, and it shows in the work, man. I mean, it's absolutely fantastic. And listeners, you'll see in the show notes for this, in the blog post that accompanies this episode, I'll put the pictures of the two ball markers that Paul created for me. And Paul, I love talking to guys like yourself. I'm sure we will meet up soon. I will take you up on that offer.
Yeah, for sure.
To go to Harborside.
That's on me.
I appreciate that. So once again, listeners, we're talking to Mr. Paul Littell. He is over at PC Golf Customs. You can find his website, pcgolfcustoms.com. You can also find him all over Facebook and Instagram at PC Golf Customs. And last but not least, you can reach him via email. Do you do a lot of business via email? Do a lot of people reach out to you?
Yeah, it's I'd say probably 30%. I'd say 60% is Instagram. And then, Facebook and referrals are the other, make up the other.
Word of mouth is best,
I'll tell you what, that's what my wife and I were just talking about yesterday, is I've been fortunate to have some customers that will buy my stuff just to give to their friends. And that word of mouth is so important. So when people post your work and repost you or tag you, I mean, that stuff just means the world to a little guy like me.
Well, it means a lot to a lot of guys, believe me. So, yeah. And that email address I forgot to mention is pcgc@pcgolfcustoms.com. So listeners, once again, Mr. Paul Littell. Paul, this has been a great conversation. I wish you nothing but the best. We will definitely do this again. And I'm excited to see what other designs you are going to put up on Instagram.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate you having me on here to talk what I have to talk about.